Okay, so we are now able to start getting into some of the details of the Isser of Hakafas Harosh. So we'll start with the question of the Makom of the Peyos. Where is it? So here we have to consider both the top and the bottom. So if you take a look at Rashi El Torah, Yud Tes Chaf Zayin, which is basically coming to the Gemara in Makos and Daf Chaf on the base, Rashi writes, "Amash v'tzav lachore ozno upadachto." So, what does that mean? So, your padachas, your forehead, doesn't have hair, and likewise above the ears, there's no hair. You know, there's a little bit of space, let's say about a half an inch on the top of your ears before hair starts growing. So, if you That is the top area. So if you draw a line from the top of your ears, where the hair doesn't grow, till the corner of your forehead, and the area below that is the top area, the top of the area, which is restricted in terms of cutting. There's a little bit of a question exactly what this means. Is it a straight line, or maybe some folks can think you round it, so that would be maybe slightly larger. Which part of the forehead is it, like here or here? But that's basically what it is. That's what we're talking about in terms of the upper area, which part of the ear. So the Chazon Ish says it's the middle part of the area above the ear. In other words, your ear is sort of rounded a little bit, that middle to the corner of the forehead. And that's what Rashi means. That's what the Gemara means. Mash v'tzedav l'chorei ozno uvatachto, meaning to say, and that's what hakafa means. Hakafa is sort of to round your hair. So what does that mean? Because naturally, it's not round. Naturally, your hair grows, if you look at a person's hairline, so it's not round. It sort of goes from the ears, it goes down and up, and then, steps up to your forehead and the like. So l'hakif, to be makif, is to be mashbetzadav, meaning to say, to make it all even. So if you've made that sort of straight line from here to here and cut below that, so then you've certainly cut off your payas. Well, when you cut the hair below that, how much you have to cut, we're going to get to. But that is the area that is Bechlal, the prohibition. Now, how much you have to take, that's we're going to get to Be'ezus Hashem in just a minute. Rabbi Jachter in his Sefer quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. I think what I'm saying, Hakafas Harosh begins at the highest point of the hairline as it arches over the ear, which is the same thing what I said, the center, and extends in a slightly curved line across to where the hairline of the forehead turns sharply down, meaning to the area where it starts going down. Your forehead is sort of, the edge of the forehead is sort of like a straight line. Okay, so that's pretty easy. Again, maybe among the poskim there's slight differences, but that's pretty straightforward. And the truth is that it's only if you're like a brisker and a brisker pace is that going to be halacha lemaisa in terms of getting your hair cut. We'll talk about where briskers come from in a moment. They come from brisk. So what about on bottom, right? In other words, what's the lowest area that's bichlal the iser? Now, I'll point out just an interesting ha'ara, which is that if you learn, like the Rambam and Rashi and the like, which we'll get to in a moment, so I know I'm foreshadowing, just to appreciate it, that when it comes to the Isser of Hashchasa Zakan and Hakafas Peyos HaRosh, they're the same. Even in one case, in the Zakan, it says Lo Sashchis, and in the case of Peyos HaRosh, it says Lo Sakif. But however Rambam knew it, we'll talk about how he knew it. It's not just Rambam, it's Rashi and other Rishonim. However they knew it, they basically have the same gather, which is that Tar is Aser, but Misparaim is Mutter, and even Misparaim Kein Tar is Mutter. So if you hold like that, Shita, then there's actually no nafkamina between your beard and your payas. Because in both cases, Misparaim is always mutter, and tar is the only thing that's aser. There might be a little bit of an afkaminas. We'll see. What about Malahaki for itni? But in terms of the question of scissors or the like, it's the same. There's an afkamina for malchus, right? But in terms of the what you're allowed to do in that area, whatever you're allowed to do on your face, you're allowed to do in your area of hakafas pesarosh. So let's imagine that your face, you're allowed to use any type of scissors or any type of trimmer, right? Even a trimmer is going to be, worst case, it's going to be kaintar, right? Misbarim kaintar. And we'll define these a little better. But let's say, right? So on your face, you could use a trimmer because misbarim kaintar is much around your face. Same thing over here. There's, if you follow the Rambam Shita and you go to the barber, all you have to do is tell the barber, don't use a razor. Don't use a razor on my face. Don't use a razor on my hair. And I'm fine, right? I can't violate any yisur. But as we'll see, we don't follow that view. Even our makeup, we're going to talk about face later, not today, but probably not tomorrow either. Probably we'll get to face on Friday. But even if you're going to say on the face, a trimmer is okay. But in terms of peos, a trimmer with a zero might not be okay. Right. If we're going to assume that a trimmer with a zero, it's not with a zero, it's with nothing on it. A trimmer without a guard is Misbarim Kaintar. So then that's going to be a problem on this area. And that's why it's going to be very important to figure out what's included in this area. So if you follow the Rambam's position, there's not actually that much of a lemaisa question in terms of what we're trying to figure out what's the bottom area, right? You could go ahead and even if you think that the pace extends to the bottom of the ear, you could still use a shaver there, right? Assuming that, let's say, shaver is Misbarim Kaintar, right? So go ahead, use a shaver. You could have these really short payas, use a shaver all you want because it's still not a tar. But as they said, Shulchan Aruch is machmir that child. So that's why we really need to figure out this question, which is where does the bottom, what's the bottom area of Hakaf Sarosh? That's what we need to figure out now. Okay, you had a question.
We're going to define
Kaintar. Yeah, of course. As we'll get to it. Okay, good. So what is this area? So to understand this question, and especially to appreciate, you know, the seemingly very stringent view of the Shulchan Aruch, which really is muchach from Sif Aleph, but explicated most clearly in Sif Tes, where he says, Shir hapeya mikneged seyar sha'al padachto, ve'ad lamata min ha'ozen, makom shalechi atachton yotze, misparit sham, v'chol rochav makom ze, lo siga bo yad. That's what we need to figure out. We need to figure out where is he coming from, right? And especially this idea of the ad lamata min ha'ozen. So where is this coming from? So really, I think we have to understand the place where the Shulchan Aruch gets to this is from the Rivan in Makos, as the Gra point out both on Sif Aleph as well as the Gra on Sif Tes. That's where he's coming from, Shitas HaRivan. And really it comes from a different understanding, which is we know that in terms of Hashchasas Peyas HaZakan, so there are five Peyos, and if you could understand a little bit where the five Peyos are, we're going to assume, now maybe this isn't a good assumption, it might be a possibility in the Ritva and the like, but for now we're going to assume that if it's Pesach, that everything is either going to probably fall under Pesach Rosh, Pesach, and that's what we need to figure it out. In other words, let's say this area, you know, is this Pesach Rosh or Pesach Zakan? What's the Nafkamina for us? Nafkamina for us is, if it's Pesach Zakan, we're going to Matir Misbarim Kaintar. If it's Pesach Rosh, we're going to be Oser Misbarim Kaintar. Because again, we don't accept the Rambam. So we need to, so we could figure out where Pesach Rosh is somewhat by figuring out where Pesach Zakan is. So what comes out from the Rivan is that he has his Peyas HaZakan is pretty low, which leads to assume that the Peyas HaRosh must extend to that area. Because we're going to assume, again, maybe not everybody makes this assumption, maybe there's an area in between, but the pashtus is that the Peyas HaRosh extends to the Peyas HaZakan. So if we could figure out where the Peyas HaZakan begins, then we'll also know where the Peyas HaRosh ends. And we'll know where we may not cut with Misparayim Kitar. So that's what we need to do. That's our exercise. So that's where you come up with this idea of Lamata and Ozen. Because when the Rivan is explaining the Peyas HaZakan, so he says, oh, they begin Lamata and Ozen, which tells us perhaps that Peyas HaRosh extend until that point. So now let's just do a little bit of anatomy. So you'll see here that the Rishonim, the Poskim, talk about the Lechi Elyon and the Lechi Tachton. And basically our debate is whether the Lechi Elyon is included in the Peyas HaRosh or the Peyas HaZakan. The Lechi Tachton is certainly going to be below the Peyas HaRosh. Question is the Lechi Elyon going to be included in the Peyas HaRosh? So what are the Lechi Elyon and the Lechi Tachton? So the Lechi Tachton is basically the bone, the jaw, the lower jaw, right, which is connected to your teeth, right? If you just hold your mouth out, no, that's my lower jaw, the thing that goes up, you know, when you talk, chew, right, it goes down, up, down, but really it's just going down, right? When your mouth is in a closed position, it's steady, and then it goes down. That's the Lechi Tachton, that whole bone area. That's what we call the Lechi Tachton. I think it's called the mandible, okay? The Lechi Elyon, in anatomy, they don't call it the Lechi, upper jaw, but basically it's the bone that your upper teeth connect to, the one that doesn't move, the one that's stationary. It's the Lechi Tachton, it's the mandible that moves. The Lechi, except if you're a crocodile, right? It always goes down, or an alligator, actually. That's the difference between an alligator and a crocodile, right? So anyway, I forgot which one is which. So the point is that the Lechi Elyon is the bone that includes your upper teeth, right? Your upper jaw, as it were. Again, in English, you wouldn't call it an upper jaw, but that's what they seem to be referring to. And you could feel, where is the Lechi Elyon and Lechi Tachton? So the Lechi Tachton, if you open up your mouth and you put your hand over here and you'll see something sort of protrudes out when you open up your mouth, right? That's how you can sort of feel where your Lechi Tachton is. Lower. Lechi Elyon is above that. That's what I think they're talking about. You can't know for sure. So the Rivan says basically that what is the Hakafas HaZakan, the Peyos that are included in Hakafas HaZakan, this starts with the Lechi Tachton, which again allows us to presume that above that is a Lechi Elyon. So above that area of where the lower jaw extends, right, the mandible extends, above that area is already Hakafas HaRosh, not Hakafas HaZakan. And that's awesome. And that's where you get the idea of Ozen, because more or less at the bottom of the ear, parallel to the bottom of the ear, and you can look at a picture in the skull and you'll see this more or less, that's where it extends. Now, then the question is, well, how do you define ear? So the ear could mean one of two things. It could mean the entire ear, including the earlobe, or it could mean the whole, basically. So if you take a look at the Imre Yosher, it's Rav Meir Arik, Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Pei Gimel, especially Oz Beis, he writes that when we talk about the ear, we mean the whole, basically. Chazal refer to the ear as the area that the sound goes in, not the whole thing. Or if you want to be, you know, basically the cartilage area, not including the earlobe. So therefore he thinks that even if you follow this machmir view of the Rivan, the view that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, Bad Lamata Min Ozen, that doesn't include the earlobe. So that's his view. And he brings a raya from the dinim of Mirza by Avadim. And that more or less corresponds to the Lechi Atachta. If you take a look at a picture of a skull, you'll see that's sort of what we're talking about. So in theory then, we have three positions, right? We haven't actually said, we just said there's Shulchan Aruch's position, the Rivan. We're going to have the lenient position, which we'll define in a moment. Then we have the stringent view of the Rivan. And there's two versions in theory of that. There's the Havana of Rav Rik, which means up until the bottom of the hole of the ear or the bottom of the cartilage of the ear, or we could read the Shulchan Aruch a little more literally and assume that it means the bottom of the earlobe. But that view is very hard to justify because it doesn't seem to correspond to the position of the Rivan, who mentions Lechi Tachto, because the bottom of the ear is really below the top of the Lechi Tachto. That's what at least and seems to me. Okay, so does everybody accept the view of the Rivan? And the answer is no. In fact, almost nobody accepts the view of the Rivan. The Rivan seems to be a Das Yachid. Who disagrees? So Rashi, Rambam, Rashi is in Shavuos, Gimel Amud Aleph, Dimasfil, Ve'alazakon, Rambam and Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Beis, Halacha Zayin, again, describing the Peyas HaZakon, but that's going to help us for this, right? If they look just, again, these are going to be very hard to define, and as we'll see, the Rishonim already point out, well, we can't really figure out exactly what these five Peyas HaZakon is, but we could have some idea. So he writes, Avachamis Peyosh Yeshbo, meaning the Peyas HaZakon, Lechi ha'elyon, the lechi ha'tachton, mi'amin. So what is the Pesach Zakon? Lechi elyon and lechi tachton. Well, if that's Pesach Zakon, lechi elyon is Pesach Zakon. Obviously, lechi elyon is not Pesach Rosh. Whereas again, the Rivan is the Rashi on Makos at this point, at the end of the Masechta. Right? So the Rivan holds. But no, lechi tachton is the upper payas azakon, right? The Rambam says lechi elyon is the upper payas azakon. So the Rambam, Rashi and Shavuos is of this view. The Rush and the Ravid on Taras Kohanim, as well as the Ritva Makos, Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph Dimaschal Machui. So we see over here that many, many Rishonim are lenient. And they say basically lechi elyon is okay. Okay, meaning to say, Lechi Elyon is mutter with Misparayim Kentar. It is a din of Peyas HaZaka, not Peyas HaRosh. And that's why, actually, if you look at the Kashuk Lover, Sheol Shavuos Eretz Tzvi, Chela Gimel, Simen Hay. There was actually a recent write-up in Mishpacha magazine about the Kashuk Lover. He was the second Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chachme Lublin after Rav Meir Shapiro died. He died pretty young. They didn't know who to hire for a while. There was like a year where it wasn't clear. And then eventually he became Rosh Yeshiva, very fascinating person. As I said, I think in Mishpacha magazine, like a week or two ago, there was maybe a month ago, I'm always very behind in these things, but they interviewed that guy who spoke in Yeshiva a year or two ago, who wrote a biography of the Eretz Tzvi. Anyway. So he was a great posek, Chassidish posek. Being Chassidish posek, he was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto. Hashem Yikom Damo, a brilliant, brilliant posek. And there are all sorts of great stories about him. If you want to read it? So anyway, he said it's so schwer. You know, he's Chassidish, right? So he's defending the Lishma Shemina. He says so schwer that the Shulchan Aruch would have been machria like this Das Yachid against all these other Rishonim. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef himself, doesn't bring down all the Shitos, it's true. But even, like, to be so sin against the Rambam, it's very strange. Very strange. Like, the Shulchan Aruch, just to not even cite that position, to be so same, at least the Rambam should get a Yesh Oberim. So there's two Haros to say, exactly. Number one is that despite the analysis that we've presented, the Beis Yosef does not seem to present them entirely as a machlokas. It's not clear how that's possible. The other point to add is that, as the Beis Yosef himself says when talking about this in Siftes, the nirad dekevan desveka deraisahi, Yesh li zayim alagaleach atzdayim b'makom shepadachto she'al padachto ve'ad lemata min ha'ozen makom shalachi atachton yotze misparei sham. And all that place lo siga yad v'taro v'misparim ketar. So he's saying that, look, we're dealing with a d'oraisa shayla, and there's ambiguity here, and therefore we have to be machmir. So that's really what the Shulchan Aruch comes from. On the other hand, so that's why you'll see many people who have long sideburns. Where are their long sideburns coming from? They're coming from the Shulchan Aruch, right? So, you know, look at Rabbi Sabalevsky or Rabbi Lichtenstein or Rabbi Taubes, all these are all of our Rebbeim, you know, that shave. So you'll see that they have sideburns, either to the bottom of the ear, like the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, or to the bottom of the cartilage of the ear, like Rav Meir Arik. And even, by the way, I should point out, the Meir Yosher himself, even though he says that it's the bottom of the cartilage, he does say that you shouldn't follow that view. You should go to the bottom of the ear. And he doesn't say l'maisa l'maisa. Maybe he meant it, but he doesn't. He in writing, at least, he's not comfortable following paskening like his own view. But anyhow, so either you'll, right, that's where they're coming from. They're coming from the Shulchan Aruch. Coming from the Shulchan Aruch. But as you probably also noted, that the Minhag HaOlam, I think, is not like the Shulchan Aruch. Looking around the table here, there's a Yesh V'Yesh. So but it is true. And I'll accept among, I think most Orthodox Jews do follow the more lenient view. And it's not so surprising. Because, as we saw, this is the overwhelming position among the Rishonim, seemingly. Apparently, this is in Rabbi Jachter's book, he quotes that Rav Moshe Feinstein or Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky were making like this position. It also seems to be the view of the Chachma Sadam as well as the Mishnah Brura. And therefore, Mikaradin really, you can follow this more lenient position. Even within a lenient position, it's not exactly clear, where the Lechi Elyon begins. Is it the top or the lower? That's what I mentioned before. If you look at those pictures of the Cheverners, they not only followed the lenient position, but they followed a lenient version of the lenient position. Rabbi Jachter says that you should follow a more stringent version of the lenient position. But I would just say like this, the Pashtus is, and this is the truth, is it sounds this way from Rivan as well as Rashi, which is that and again, this would lead to a stira a little bit in Rivan, but the Pashtus is that Peis HaRosh means where facial hair grows. Like Rashi explains that Peis HaZakan relates to the face, Peis HaRosh relates to the head, where the head and the face separate, which for Pashtus is the Lechi Elyon. That is where it's asur. And not only that, but it corresponds to facial hair versus head hair. Peis HaRosh refers to the isur pertaining to hair. Peis HaZakan is the isur pertaining to the zakan, to the beard. And there's a difference between them. If you want to know where it ends, so look at a kid, right, who hasn't grown facial hair yet. And you'll see that where the head hair ends, and look at the hairline of a kid, and you'll see that corresponds to the lenient position, right? And that is that's Ikra Din is what hair is aser to use misparayim keintar. I think it's the hair that you grew before your bar mitzvah. That's that's really where. That's the Pashup Shot again, maybe not the Rivan, maybe not the Shulchan Aruch, but that's the Pashup Shot. Now, I want to just throw in a couple of other tzadim to be machmir, because maybe, you are a little bit nervous. Okay, it's true, it's Rav Rishonim, but what about the Rivan? Shulchan Aruch. So there are some additional tzadim to be makel here. Number one is that, like we said before, even if you think that Mikar Adin Hakafas Harosh goes all the way till the Lechi Tachton, right? Includes the ear. But remember, the Rambam would still tell you you could use the Shaper, right? Why? Because Rambam holds Mesparim Kentar's Mutter. And even though the Shulchan, that's not just Rambam's view, as we'll see, it's Rashi and others, even though the Shulchan Aruch really tells you, it's best to be Machmir in Sif Gimel, the Yesh Lachosh Lidvarehim, but the Iker Shita, according to the Shulchan Aruch, is the Shita of the Rambam, the Rambam doesn't disagree. So you always have the Rambam and Rashi Udi'ime in your back pocket. In other words, even, right? And number two, a second Rambam that we have in our back pocket is, which we'll get to later today, I hope, is the Rambam who says that if you leave 40 hairs, you're not over. So assuming that, you know, let's say you follow the lenient view and you start, you cut your hair over here and use a shaver below here, right? So something like that. So use a shaver below here. So first of all, it's going to be, according to Rov Rishonim, you're definitely okay, because below here is Pes Hazaka, not Pes Harosh. Assuming you could use a shaver for Pes Hazaka, but that's for later. Second of all, according to the Rambam, you would be okay regardless. And also for the Rambam, for another reason, you'd be okay regardless, because if I start shaving over here, I still left more than 40 hairs up here. Without a doubt, there's more than 40 hairs. So therefore we have two. Now you could say, okay, but the Shulchan Aruch reject the Rambam about 40 hairs. Yeah, because the sacred advice of Luchama, but that sheet doesn't even quote it and doesn't even make it to Shulchan Aruch. And the other sheet of the Shulchan Aruch rejects. So, and then the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Yvan. So I'm saying, you could be makel based off of three sheetos, but all three of those sheetos are rejected by the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, that's true. And that's why there's certainly makom to be machmir. At least, or the what Rabbi Shechter recommends is like the middle view, right? Yeah, you should be choshish for the Rivan, but the lenient version of the Rivan, as explained by Imre Yosher. Yes, Moshe.
Yeah, a question. I thought that the lenient view is basically saying the temporomandibular joint, which is a boundary between the upper jaw and the lower jaw, is the boundary between the Pas Harosh and Pas Hazakon. But then you were saying there's a lenient and stringent views within the lenient view. That part I don't understand.
Is it the top or the bottom? In other words, at what point does that begin? Is the whole joint bichlal pas hazakan, which is pretty high up? So a little bit low. So the stringent view within the lenient position is that it's basically the bottom of the cheekbone, which is, you know, where facial hair sort of begins. So the lenient position within the lenient view is, like you said, at the very top of that joint at the top of the bone. Yes?
It's kind of a funny question. I knew someone who has roots that begin above the area. The roots of their hair begin just higher. So they grow out their hair a little more, just because they think it looks funny to have it all the way up here. But like, halachically, would we say that since the roots begin up here, is there a reason that person would need to grow the hair out a little low?
Well, we'll talk about, this is a very important question, in a moment. We haven't really addressed it that we've alluded to yet, which is, given that we do paskin like the Machmir view that Misparim Keintar is usher for Peas HaRosh, so then what is the Shear? So if this is Peas HaRosh, so now we have to figure out where is it, you know, how long do you have to leave your Peas HaRosh? That we haven't addressed yet, right? The only question we've addressed so far is which hairs are included in the Peas HaRosh. Now, once we figure out that, then we need to figure out, okay, what's the shear for Pes Harosh? So we haven't seen enough to answer your question. Yes?
Maybe another time, I don't know if it helps with Shomar, but the Rivan is closer himself, the other Rivan.
Yes, that's what we noted. Correct, Correct. The Rivan's position seems to, he seems to say two things, which he must have thought are compatible, but as far as we could tell are incompatible. Yes. I agree. Yes. Okay. I should point out as well that there is,
No.
We work through it, but it's a little technical. So we could do it not during Seder, but there is, you might be wondering where the Hasidic perspective comes from. So if you take a look on the, at least in my Shulchan Aruch on the margin, there's a Beis Lechem Yehuda on Sif Aleph, and he writes, on Sif Gimel. So he quotes from the Arizal. The Arizal was Noeg Binyan Pes HaRosh Shayaminiach Kol Rochav HaTzdayim. Okay, that's okay. But what does it mean? He wouldn't cut them at all. Shehu Kol HaSeyar Sheyesh Min HaOzen Ad Shlish HaMetzach Shehu Makom Chalak HaChalak Sheyesh BeRosh Mishnei Tzidei HaMalach Uvim Uvigova Yaminiach Kishir Vine Ad Oso Amakom Vios Malmal. It's the only part of the zakan he would cut was the mustache when it was getting interfering with food. And in terms of the other hairs, Ulasi Aser Shalas, Vigamaya Miniachapel Shalarosh Lagado, the Lawaya Chotchan, Rak Ad Shiyigdilu Kokach, Shiyikansu Lamata Bimako Sarah Zakan. That actually doesn't seem that long. But it was certainly pretty long. As hayachotchan ad oso amakom, he would leave them until they went shiigdilu kolkach shikansu lamata b'makom se'ar zakan. Shemisham lamata lo yikra pesarosh. Okay, so could be that there are kabbalistic reasons to grow your beard, to grow longer payas, and the like. Not clear if there are enigma reasons, however. Now, okay. So now we have to turn to the next question, which is, as we keep on saying, somewhat overlapping, right? Again, question one we've dealt with is, what is the makom of Hakafas HaRosh, right? Peis HaRosh. Question two is, what can you do on Peis HaRosh? So when it comes to Peis HaZakan, the Gemara tells us exactly what we can and we can't do. The only thing that's aser is tar, but misbarayim is mutter, and that's because they don't do hashchasa, and melakeh rehitni is mutter because it says lo segaleach, and they don't do giluach. What are melakeh rehitni? We'll get more into detail later, but more or less, according to Rambam, it's like a type of tweezers, pliers to pull out the hair, basically means plucking hairs, and that's not aser. And according to Rashi or Ivan, it's like a plane. That's the French word that he uses, but it's the same thing as what we use in English for a plane for wood, a plane for metal, for your sword, for your shield. A plane is everyone knows what a plane is. Okay, let's say your door is a little bit too long. So you need to shorten it a little bit. So you take a plane and it takes off like a small amount of wood or metal or the like. You could, so it's a tool. And the way the Rashi understands it is that this is not the derech of Giluach. It might actually cut as close as a razor, but it doesn't, it's very abnormal to use a plane to cut, to shave with. Very uncomfortable, I'd imagine. Now, what we see, by the way, as well, is that the Isser here is not the Totsa'a, but the Maisa. In other words, the Totsa'a of, like the Rambam, using the tweezers, is certainly as good, if not better, than shaving with a razor blade, right? But that's not the... It's the Maisa that the Torah prohibited. That's why, more or less, again, we'll get to this later when we talk about beards, but that's why it's okay, at least according to the Rambam, maybe Rashi, less clear, to use powder or something like that. Even if the result, you could say, well, this is so strange, why should it be mutter to use some? It's, the result is is perfectly smooth face, but that doesn't matter because, again, we might qualify this a little bit later, but for now I'll say it, that the Isser is an Isser Mice. It's not an Isser Totsah. Okay, so that's true when it comes to Hashchasas Hazagan. That's very straightforward. What about Pesach Rosh? So I would have thought that none of this is relevant, because how do we learn those parameters that it's mutter b'malakit v'hitni, it's mutter with misbarayim? I learned those from the verb that the Torah uses, losashchus. And that word, right, losashchus, and between the two words of hashchasa and giluach, that's how I know these rules. But those rules are not stated with respect to hakafta rosh, so mecha teisi to apply them. Now the Gemara, Makos Chafal Moralef, that's what I would say if that's all that I had. However, many Rishonim don't say that. Many Rishonim say that just like when it comes to my facial hair, it's mutter if it's misbarayim, so too when it comes to my Pesach Rosh. This view of Rashi, Nazir, Memon, Beis, Timas, Chalein, Uchayev, the view of the Rambam, Hilchos Varzara, Perek Yud, Beis, Halachavav. It's also in the Tshuvas Rambam that I sent you before, who says that's the Minag. It's the first day in the Shulchan Aruch, Siv Gimel, as well. So how do they come up with this? Now there's Mecha Tesi, Misparayim is Mutter. So if you look at the Makoros, the source is a Tosefta, Makos, Gimel, Zion. It says that. It says that you need a tar, and a sparayim is okay. Great. So what's the makor for the Tosefta? We know the makor for the Rambam in the Shas, but how did the Shas know that? After all, the Psukim, like we noted, don't sound that way. The Drash is only about Hakafas, Hashkasas Hazakan. So the Ritva, Makos, Chaf, Aleph, Amad Aleph, Dimaschal Tan Rabbanan gives two approaches, two possible sources for this lenient view. The first one is basically Misvara. What does that mean? The Svara is that lo sakif means to remove your hair. If I've used a scissors as opposed to a razor, I have not removed my hair, right? There's still hair left. There's even invisible hair left. Might be quite short when you use scissors. You can get pretty close, especially if you use Ms. Brian K. Tar, but still, the only thing that removes the hair entirely is a tar. So therefore, since the tar says you may not remove your Pesach Rosh, so as long as you haven't removed them entirely, as long as something remains, you've not violated the Isser. Now, says the Ritva, if that's the source, so then it would turn out that Milakif or Hidni, let's assume now, we'll translate like the Rambam, that means tweezers, it's going to be Usser. Because in this case, when you use tweezers, you removed everything. Now, the disposition, even though this position says Misparayim is entirely mutter for Hakafas Arosh and Hakafas Azakan, it's not that they have the same halacha. No, very different halachos. They both, let's see, you could use a shaver for both, assuming again, shaver is Misparayim Ketar. Use a shaver for both. But you can't use the tweezers for both. Tweezers you could use in your beard because it says giluach. Whereas Pesach Rosh, you can't use tweezers because anything that removes the entire hair is usser. The only thing you're allowed to do is remove hair in a way that some of it remains. So therefore, if you all like this first reason in the Ritva, so then Malakit Verhitni would still be usser on Pesach Rosh, even though Ms. Barayim and even Ms. Frank Kaintar, even the shaver would be mutter. Milakarini would be Asr, I think I might have said the wrong thing. Okay. The second option is no, there's some type of drasha that teaches me to equate Pesach Rosh and Pesach Zakan. We don't have such a source in Chazal that's explicit, but we can come up with one. For example, we're makish these two dinim, like with respect to the din of Echad HaMak and Echad HaNikaf, that's that maybe tomorrow, Bez Hashem. We're makif Hakafa to Hashchasa, or the Nemuke Yosef, Makos, Dalet Amud Aleph, quoting the Rid, cited by the Beis Yosef, says maybe there's some type of Gzeirah Shava, Pas, Pas Arosh, Pas Azakan, that therefore there's a drasha of some sort that links these two prohibitions. Now, if that is the correct source, so then it would turn out that even Waqif or Hidni would be mutter on Peas Harosh. So that's the nafkamina between these two shatim within the lenient.
Isn't good enough for linking the two? You need something more than that?
I'm sorry?
The fact that Hashchasas Pas Harosh and Pas Zakon are in the same pasuk.
Well, on the one hand, they're on the same pasuk, but on the other hand, the Torah uses a different word. So, so that works for you or against you. Now, what is the other position? This is a position of the Rush. It's the position of Tosfos. They hold, no. Avada, it is usher to use Mesparim Kaintar. Because the only reason why we're Mati or Mesparim Kaintar is because the Torah says Hashchasa, and here the Torah doesn't use that, so it should be usher. Here's a diok like that from the Gemara, Nazir Daf Mem. And that is the reason for the Machmir view. So it's also Tosas Nazir Mamal base, the Rosh Makos Pergimel Halacha base, and other places. And the big problem with this view, as we noted already, is the Tosafta. The Tosafta says that you are chaya, that it's only, it seems to say it's only Aser Bitar, Motor B'Misparai. So the Rosh answers, well, when it says that when it says tar is aser, not just tar, but also misparayim kain tar, and the only thing that's going to be mutter is misparayim, not kain tar. So now we're going to, just a minute, have to define what those terms mean a little better. But that's what the Tosefta means. Even though it's true and simple, even though the Tosefta probably sounds like it's only aser batar, but since misparayim, when used like a tar, achieves something very close to a tar, so therefore, that's what the Tosefta assers as well. Okay, so those are the two positions. And as I said, the Shulchan Aruch's first view is the Rambam, the Yesh Osrim is the Rosh, but the Mechaber says, the Yesh Lachosh Lidvarehim. Yeah.
So when it came to the Rambam, we were assuming when he said Misparayim that he meant Misparayim?
Misparayim, all Misparayim is Mutter. Yeah, if he meant there's a restriction, he would have told you. You see that? Right. Okay. But so now the concept of Kain Tar doesn't come up in Shas in this sugya. It does come up in the context of Beged Isha. We'll see in a moment. But the Gemara in our sugya, both, you know, with respect to Pesha Zakan, says, you know, Tar is Mutter, Misparayim. Tar is Asur, Misparayim is Mutter. And that's understood. For now, we're going to assume that that should be understood as saying any type of misparayim is mutter, even kain tar, because there seems to be across the board leniency for misparayim. Now, when we get to hakafas hazaken, we will see if that's so pashut. Well, we're going to return to that question a little more, because it's going to be very relevant you know, when we talk about shavers and things. But for now, we'll assume that. Yeah.
I was just going to say, on the point of the Rambam about Misparayim, that even Kain Tar, even Mutter, is that Madur Ben Roshan of Loko? It says the Loko for Misparayim as opposed to the Galer.
Okay, maybe. I'm not sure.
Even if it's...
Certainly doesn't hurt that. Okay. So, an interesting... Now, so we said before that if you follow... Just one second. If you follow the lenient view, so then... It's a suffix in a ritva whether tweezers would be mutter. Maybe you could say it's a little more nota that they would be mutter, like his second answer, but it's a suffix. If you follow the stringent view of the Rambam, then for sure tweezers would be usser, right? Which leads Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Gilyon Hashas on Shvuas base and the base in Tosfos, as well as in the Chidush of Kivager over there, and also in the Tshuva somewhere, which I didn't yet track down, says, so then for sure it would be Aser, like I said, if you follow the stringent view of the Rosh, or Tosfos, he's commenting on Tosfos, so he wonders, maybe it should be Aser to comb your hair. Why? Why? Because maybe there's a psikresha that when you comb your hair, you'll pull out hairs. In Shabbos, we seem to assume that way. Again, there's that famous Tshuva of the Rivash, where he, you know, yells at everybody who combs their hair on Shabbos. And, you know, the truth is that it's going to depend on a lot of things. It's going to depend on your how thick your comb is, how thick your hair is, how dirty your hair is, how much, you know. It may very well be that there isn't a psik resha for just combing your hair like this. But the general assumption we have in halacha is that combing will produce, inevitably cause pulling out of hairs. Again, it might only be if you comb all your hairs, inevitably one hair will come out. Maybe it doesn't just apply to the small area over here, but he says it should come out. And he says, even though maybe we could have a sfeik sfeika to be matir. Maybe, what's our sfeik sfeika? Maybe the Rambam is right that it's only a tar that's aser, right? And he's assuming, like the second tzad in the Ritva, that if you hold like the Rambam, it's going to be mutter b'mlake for hitni, right? As you could have actually also come up with a sfeik sfeika chumra, but he doesn't. I don't know. I don't know if he had that Ritva, so he takes for granted that according to Rambam it would be okay. So then we have a little bit of a sfeik sfeika. Maybe the Rambam is right. It isn't as long as Rambam is wrong, but we have the other Rambam with 40 hairs that he only violated. If you don't leave 40 hairs, you're going to leave 40 hairs. So he says, okay, maybe that's a good sfeik sfeika, but he's not happy with that sfeika because we don't accept that view. Right, Vaf, Diesh, Ladun, Ktsas, the Sfeik Sfeika, Safik, Deloy, Kataisvis, the Safik, Keshita, Sasovim, De Shir, Beis, Odal, and Saros, Mehani, Mikomakom, Lefize, Nakal Gam, Kain, Bemis, Barai, and Mehach, Sfeik Sfeika. If that Sfeika Sfeika is right, so then you should be able to also use Miss Barai and Kain Tar, right? Because Sfeik Sfeika. And we don't. Shulchan Aruch rules against that. So the Shulchan Aruch is essentially ruling that we don't rely on that sfeik sfeika. They could say, okay, we'll rely on the sfeik sfeika for davar shein miskavim psikresha, psikresha dal nichalei. Maybe that's the sfeik sfeika. When we're talking about nisar d'oraisa, so we're machmir b'makom sfeik sfeika. When we're talking about worst nisar d'rabanan, psikresha dal nichalei. Well, is that so pashut? Psikresha dal nichalei. The Shabbos, we know, is d'rabanan. Maybe that's a Sfeik Shavas. We'll return to this question a little bit later. But that's an important question. And we're going to return to this question, we have to see a little bit more. So now we'll leave off an interesting ha'ara of the Reb Kivager. Is it mutter to, you know, before when you get dressed tomorrow morning, just don't comb your hair down here. We'll see if there's any stud in Lakel. Yeah, sorry.
For the Russian process, is it?
Well, so first of all, they find they're muchrach to say that because of the Tosafta. In other words, the Tosafta says Mizraim is mutter. So we can't possibly not say that. Now, where does it come from and what does it mean? So now let's talk about that. So here's what we need to talk about, which is let's assume like this Machmir view. Okay. So again, we're passing like this Machmir view. So we know that Misparayim is mutter, like it says in the Tosefta, Misparayim entire is aser. What does, now we finally have to, we're going to be forced, I've sort of pushed you off before trying to define what is Misparayim, what's Misparayim Kentar, right? What, now I have to answer that question, right? Does that mean that, you know, what does that mean? I have to leave my sideburns an inch, half an inch, quarter of an inch? What's the shear? And of course, yeah, right? Again, this isn't going to be a shayla for your beard, because beard Misparayim Kentar is mutter. Right, but for your Pesach Rosh, where we're machmir for Misparayim Kentar, so where do you draw the line between Misparayim and Misparayim Kentar? So if you would have asked me, I'd say, well, it's very straightforward, which is that What is the difference between a tar and a misparayim? The difference is that misparayim, there's a gap, a space between where it's cut and your face, right? Because misparayim cut by going like this, right? It's the two blades rubbing against each other that causes the cutting. So that means your hair will not, however thick the blade is, let's say it's 3 millimeters thick. The bottom blade. So however thick the bottom blade is, that's going to be, there's going to be at least that much gap between your face and the end of the hair, right? So if the bottom blade is 3 millimeters thick, so then it's that's misparayim. So, and misparayim is okay. Like we know, it doesn't do ashkasa because it doesn't get to the root. It's not mashkas, there's still something left. So as long as I use misparayim in a normal manner, that's misparayim, that's mutter for Pesach Rosh, even for the machmirim. What does misparayim ke'ein tar means? It means that somehow or another, I'm using scissors to get closer to the root, such that it does something similar to tar, right? So if I use scissors in a regular manner, whereby the bottom blade of the scissors interrupts. I don't cut like with the tip of my scissors, for example. I cut normal scissor action and the bottom blade isn't sharp. I don't have to worry about the bottom blade independently cutting like a tar, you know, consider the Tumas Sedeshan and the like. No, normal scissors, the bottom blade is dull, couldn't cut on its own. And it's only in the cross action that the cutting takes place. So as long as I use scissors in a normal way, that's mutter. That's why the Tosafta could say it's mutter, right? Because then it's not, then I'm leaving something. Now, if you look at that Rabbi Kidegar, actually, that I just quoted, he sort of takes for granted, he doesn't even explain that, oh, you know what? Actually, if you follow the Machmir view of the Rosh, how long do you need to leave your hair? Kidei lakuf rosho likaro, which is basically the amount of hair that long enough that if you would bend the hair over, the end of the hair would reach the root of the hair. That's what the hair means. That's what it means. The Ksav Sofer also assumes this way. It's quoted in the Pischei Tshuva, Darke Tshuva over here, Siman Kuf Pei Aleph, Sifkat Men Zayin. I think that they quote this also from the Chassam Sofer. They all assume a different shear, right? Which is obviously much longer, right? I don't know exactly how long that is, but certainly, you know, if you use your scissors in the normal way, you're going to not necessarily leave that much hair. So where'd they get this from? The answer is they get it from a Sugya Nida, Nun Beis, where it lists the length of hair for various different types of halachos, for example, Shtei Sairos, for Godless, and other places, but I do them different areas in the Torah where we need to know about Sairos. And it gives you the Shir Sairos, and there's actually three different opinions over there. But the Gemara tells us we pass on like the Machmir view of how long the hair has to be. And the hair has to be Kedei Lakof. At least we pass on like the Machmir view L'chumra. Also, but we pass on like the longest Shir, which is Kedei Lakof L'chumra, right? So for example, you know, if you want to know whether a kid is a Gadol or not, and he has Sairos, so the Cyrus has to be Kedei Lakof Rosh and Likar, and then we would say, oh, he's a Gadol. You can lay in the Pasha Zachar. Right? Good. So that's where they get it from. You know, well, makes sense, right? We don't, here we don't have a shear. There we have a shear. Why don't we just import it? The problem is, with this theory, as Nora Yudah points out, is that, 1 second, the Mishnah over there, Dafka, didn't give this. In other words, if this was really the correct shear, so it belongs over there in the Seches Nida, right? It lists all sorts of other nafkaminas where we apply Kedei Lakof Rosh Likaro, so it should have included this as well. So the Mashmaos is, Faker, the Mashmaos is, and that's why none of these Machmir views, like Tosos, the Rosh, ever give a shear. They don't say anything about Kedei Lakof Rosh Likaro. They say, very Pashat, they say that Misparayim is Mutter. So as long as you use Misparayim in a normal way, not Kein Tar, it's Mutter. So where does this, you know, this chumra of Rabbi Kidegar come from? But the truth is, it's not so bad, because the Rambam actually perhaps would be the source. Rambam and Hilchos Naziros, Perkei Halacha Yud Aleph says like this: Nazir shegileach sara chasloka bein betar bein mizug v'hu shakitzet samekar kein tar. So you get malchus for a nazir if you cut a hair. How much? Tar or kein tar? Well, what is kein tar? What is kein tar? V'miniach mehenu kidei lakof rosha likara ein aloka she'ein zeh kein tar. Ah, so we have a shear. What's a shear? Kidei lo rosha likara. So now it's very gishmak. Because what do we know? The Rush says, it's aser kein tar. The Rambam said, vus haste kein tar, kidei lakof rosho likaro. So now, if I put together the Rambam and the Rush, the behavior is mefurish. It's a great shot, except, you know, we could also say fakert. The Mamad Shachir, okay. Because the Rush and Tosos, the Machmirim and our Shaila, both disagree with that Rambam. But they don't accept the idea that kedei lakof rosh likar is the shear of kein tar. This is Tosin in the Russian Nazir Mem Amud Aleph. So I could tell you like this, and the truth is the Rambam shear is perplexing because why should kein tar be so long, right? I mean that's pretty long. So I could really tell you fakert. I could say mimana shach it's mutter to use let's say a trimmer, okay, a trimmer on this area. Why? Or certainly a scissors as low as I can go, because the scissors is a garden. What? Why? Why? Because if you learn like the Rush, if you learn like the Rambam, it's mutter because kein tar is mutter. And if you learn like the Rush, this is not kein tar, right? So there's no sheet in Rishonim that will be machmir. The Rambam would, there'd be meikel for two different reasons. The Rush and Tosus would be meikel because kein tar is much lower than kedei lakof rosh likaro. And the Rambam would be meikel because, yeah, he has a very machmir view of what kentar is, but he thinks that kentar is mutter. So b'man hafshach, there's no shita that would be machmir. But at the same time, maybe we should accept the chumra of the Rush and the chumra of the Rambam. So it's true, no rishon would be machmir, but still, we should be choshish. It's not so pasha to say that because l'maisa, there's not a single rishon that gives that shear. As far as I can tell, the first to come up with the application of Rosh Likaro for here is Rav Akiva Eiger and Chassam Sofer. So therefore, really the pashto says that Mikra Din, as long as there is a guard, then it's going to be mutter because that's Nisparaya. Right? You could use a guard of any sort, and that's still going to be misfired. So let's say you're going to the barber, and you want to get a haircut. So you know you're worried about cutting the payas. So if you told him, in the area of the payas, use a scissors only, in a normal fashion, no misprank entire, use a scissors normally, so then I'm okay. Because that's much even according to the Rush. It's no true, not for a big anger, but the pashup shot. Or if I tell him, you know what, you could use a trimmer. So trimmer might be missed by a kentar, but once you put a guard on a trimmer, even if it's a one, even if it's a half, then it's not going to be missed by a kentar anymore. It's going to be misparayim. So use a trimmer with a guard. I'm okay, right? Because again, I'm okay for the Rambam that misparayim. This might be missed by a kentar, but the Rambam's matir missed by a kentar, and I'm okay for the Russian Tosis because this isn't missed by a kentar. That's the pashup shot. That's Ikra Din. You really can't mess up unless you're getting a zero, right? Unless you're, you know, you're going to the Navy or something. I don't know. Even the Navy, they probably don't get a zero. You get like a one, right? So I'm going to be okay if there's something. If they do a guard or if they use a scissors in a normal fashion. However, as we said, they're daily paiskim that are machmir, the kiveger, the chassam sofer, and the like. So, therefore, the poskim say, really, lachat chila, even though probably mikra din is mutter, we should be choshish for the shita, so for vigor and the like, that A, to be machmer for misbarn kein tar, and B, to say that you need a lakof rosho likaro. Okay, so how far is that? How much is that? How much do you need? So, different poskim say different things. Many poskim, I saw this is Rabbi Jachter said, he thinks this is really the din. If you use a two, that's good enough. A two, right, these are different size guards that are on top of trimmers. It's basically multiply the number by three, and then it's the millimeters. So a two is 6.4 millimeters. A 6.4 millimeters is enough to have kedei rosh ol ikaro, and therefore your yotzil holidays. He quotes from Rabbi Belsky, you should be strict and ask for a three. That's 9.5 millimeters, so close to a centimeter. That to get kedei rosh ol ikaro, which is the machmir view. Now, so most people means that, right? What this means is most people, unless they're getting a really short haircut, like less than a two, are okay. As long as they go to the barber and they say, don't use a razor, okay, they're going to do that anyway. Everybody knows you can't have, you know, use a razor over here. So assuming he's not using a razor, if he's either using a scissors normally or a trimmer, and with at least a two, you're okay. So if I say to him, and let's say I don't want to tell him to use the scissors because I'm afraid he's going to start using this Brian Kane tack. So I go to the barber, I say, you know what, over here and over here, use a trimmer with a two guard, then I'm fine. Now, that's the best way to be safe. You have to tell them this, because even if he's doing a two on the rest of your hair, a lot of times he's going to do a zero for this area because he wants it to look really nice and neat. And he's not going to be happy using a two over here because that, you know, he wants it to like be a little more crisp, a little more neat. But Lahora, you should be safe telling him using a two over here, then you're fine. If you want to be machmi or three, and you're fine. And as we said, this is already quite a chumrah because probably Mikra Radin a one is fine. And regular scissors are fine as well. But again, to be machmir, you could tell him to use a two or a three, and then you should be okay. And just make sure he doesn't trim it closely. Yes. Now, just one last point, and then we'll stop. So there's this lashon in Sif Test that might say, what do you mean? I'm being much too meekah, because he says, right, ad lamata mina ozen, shulchan aruch, lo siga bo yad, lo siga bo yad. I can't even use the scissors. I can't use anything. He has a trimmer. Lo siga bo yad, right? And so that's why some people say, oh, lo siga bo yad. Lo siga bo yad, you have to be very machmir, right? You can't use a, you have to have a long, bushy, payas. So that's not what lo siga bo yad means. Lo siga bo yad means, as the Beis Yosef says explicitly, right? I'll read you the lashon of Beis Yosef, right? Vav lamata mina ozen, lo siga yad betar obin misparayim keitar, right? Regular misparayim is okay. The only thing lo siga bo yad is either a tar or misparayim keitar. So let's say you have your guard of a two, so then you're fine. That's not, lo siga bo yad doesn't mean you have to let it grow out forever, right? Even if you have like 3-inch, 4-inch payas, they go behind yours, whatever. No, that's not what lo siga bo yad means. So lo siga bo yad means the misparayim or misparayim keitar. Yes.
Is the shoe we're getting a function of a clear reason or how much hair is left?
Meaning, how much hair is left? But if you have a guard of two, so then you're going to be leaving more than 6.4 millimeters of hair, which is enough to be lock of rosh ol ikaro.
But that won't matter by an actual tar. I mean, you use a tar to cut.
You could use a tar, but that's already risky. Yes. If the barber gives you a razor cut, which I don't do much anymore, but is careful to leave, let's say, 6.4 millimeters of hair everywhere would be okay. But that's risky business.
Yeah. But even if you wanted to keep the cover a little bit bigger, use a trimmer with, not concerning.
Use a trimmer with the two.
Yes,
correct. But that's all, as I said, then if your hand slips, then you could violate the isser. Okay. That's true.
People are looking at me like that.
All right. So what we'll start with next time is all right. Start with tomorrow. Well, Baz Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow.
So Rabbi, about why I was going to correct this. If I just go to Barbara Washington, that's what's